Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up one more time, and we're going to pray together. Praise the Lord one more time. It's okay to pray again. Glory to God. Let's lift your hands and thank Him. Let's thank Him before the Word. Father, we want to thank You before we receive a great meal, spiritual meal, to sustain us, nourish us, and keep us going for the next while. We thank You that those that need the Word will get a Word in season, and those that need a Word before the season comes will get the Word. We say that we thank You, Lord God. You said a man should prepare a house, prepare his house before the storm comes, and prepare before the winds blow. So we're preparing before the storm comes, that our house will stand. You said in Your word, the house of the righteous shall stand. So we thank You, Lord God. We will stand on Your word. Your word never moves. It never changes. So we're going to stand on Your word. What Your word says, we will do. I am what Your word says I am. I can do what You said word says I can do. I can go where You said word says I can go. And I can stay where Your word says I can stay. So thank You in advance. And so we thank You for the mighty Holy Spirit of God, who will enlighten us, who will give us guidance and support, and give us a supplication in the Spirit. So we want to thank You, and we begin to praise You beforehand, before we see any natural answers come. So by faith we take it. And we give You praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. Go to your Bibles with me, please, to two openings. I want you to go to the 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic Bible, which is a very good Bible I usually teach out of, because it has a lot of extra information other than what the King James gives us. I like it because it just amplifies. It does exactly what it says. It amplifies the word. And it takes the key word and the key phrase from the original language, the Greek language, and it gives us the actual extra words in there, so that it gives us clarity for our own language in our modern day vernacular. And I would like you to turn also to Psalm 55, verse 22. Again, the Amplified Classical Version. Because there is an amplified version, but it's not the classical, a little bit different in terms of, I guess, say modern, give us a little extra. And I want to talk to you about living worry-free. And there's a season to be worried. No, it's not, eh? So living worry-free by using the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord, and also the prayer of consecration, dedication, submission, and also the prayer of faith, and also many other things. Glory to God. And I want to thank God that I'm alive. Praise God, amen. I haven't had a drink last night, except this morning a little bit. And, you know, I just want to thank God. I haven't had drugs for a long time. I haven't drank, I haven't sniffed, I haven't puffed, I haven't inhaled for a long, long time. I haven't sniffed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I'm free. You're looking at a free man, praise God, amen? You say, how'd you get free? Well, the Lord, the Bible says the righteous are free. Hallelujah. But I've been paying my bills. So thank God. I thank God there's been victory in my life in many other areas. And then there's also, you know, things that we struggle with, I struggle with. And you say, well, what's the struggle? Well, none of your business for now. But, you know, we all have struggles, right? How many people don't have struggles? We're going to pray for you right now. We all have some kind of something going on, right? If it's not something wrong with spiritual things, it's going to be something in the physical things. Some people overeat. Some people don't eat. and somebody might have a problem in their soul. So we're spirit, soul, body. So there's something in that area we all struggle with. Maybe it's a habit or something like that. But anyways, I want to just mention that the devil is a liar. And he can't beat you. Now, he's going to try his best and stick around and dissuade you and cause a little bit of trouble with you, but you go ahead and stick with the Lord, praise God. He's the winner. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Are you guys doing okay this morning, or am I going to have to just pump you up a little bit more? Should I do another little dance? Okay. Living free without a worried mind. So the text, 1 Peter 5, 7, casting the whole of your care. Casting the whole of your care. So what are your cares this morning? What are your cares? Well, the Amplified Bible tells us what it is over here. It tells us your cares are all your anxieties. Anybody ever had an anxiety? You know, you just kind of get that feeling something bad's going to happen anytime soon. Or a kind of a nagging feeling in there that, you know, it's just not going to work out. That feeling there, you just don't have enough money. That feeling about, you know, the doctor's office, you're going to go to the doctor, maybe that dentist appointment or something. That's anxieties. Or even just fears of things you don't know about. I was a great one for being fearful of things unknown to me. You say, what are you scared of? I don't know, but I was afraid of something. I guess somehow I learned to be afraid because that's my experience. When you're a kid, a lot of things happened to me as a kid that I'm afraid of today. I caught that as a kid. You know, you catch a lot of things as a kid. It stays with you for your life unless you find out what it is. So casting the whole of your care. So you don't have one care, you have a whole bunch of them. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Once every day. Once in a while. It says, you do this one time. Now, my wife said, you know, that used to bug me because, you know, things come up regularly, but you only do that one time for your problem. Whatever it is, whatever problem you have, you cast it on God one time. You got only one chance. No, you don't have one chance. If you want to do this right, you got to put the thing in God's hands one time. But I didn't say it's going to be a struggle to want to take it back. Now, if you listen very carefully, you're going to be helped this morning. But if you listen uncarefully, if you're on your phone doing other things, looking at the wall, picking your nose, and doing something else, you're going to miss the whole point here. So it says once and for all. So you have to cast all the whole of your care, your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. On who? Your pastor. Their prayer line. Okay? No, on him. That's Jesus. That's God. You cast it on God because God's the only one that can take all these problems. You and I are not designed to walk around with an anxiety-filled life. We are not designed to walk around with worries and concerns all day long. But you say, well, you don't know what I have, the kind of problem I have right now. And I listen to Keith Moore. He says, what if I have a terminal situation, a terminal disease? You don't know what I have to worry about. You know? You think you could do this with that? Well, the Bible says you can do this. In terrible situations. So we're going to discover how to help ourselves. And so notice this. He says, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately. The Bible says that Jesus is our high priest and he feels everything you feel. But he can take it. And he cares about you watchfully. So he's watching out for you. So whatever you give God, he's going to watch out for you. He's got your back. As I told you, you need to listen to this because you're going to miss the whole point. Now, here's what the Psalm 55:22 says. Cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. You know, when you got burdens, you have weights that feel like you're going to burden yourself down. There's people that have situations that bug themselves. We're not designed to carry all this stuff in our lives. Sooner or later, you're going to break down. You might run for a few years, maybe a decade or something like that. Sooner or later, your body is going to give out. Your mind's going to snap. Your emotions going to, something's going to happen. Last night, my sump pump went. It was going downstairs. My wife said, "What's going on?" So I went downstairs, looked at that sump pump, looked really sad and everything. So I looked at it, we tried to fiddle with it, did what we can, and looked at it, pulled it out, look at it again, pull it back in, put it again, pull it back out, look back at it again. Wasn't obeying me. So I said, "I got to call the doctor." So which doctor should I call? Should I call Nathan? Nathan King? I said, "Well, he's probably watching a fight right now." I said, "Pastor Steve?" "Okay, Pastor Steve, we'll call him." So sure enough, I call him. I said, "Hi, Pastor Steve." And you know, when somebody says that, when somebody appears nice, you have to watch, see? "Hi, how you doing? I really like you." So anyway, makes long story longer. He came over and helped us out, discovered what I knew already. It doesn't work. Glory to God, amen. He says, "Yep." After wrecking the whole place up, ripping out things and cutting things and putting things together, "I think I got to take this apart," he says to me. I said, "Don't do that anymore." He said, "We need a new sump pump." I said, "Okay, let's do it." And so there's nothing open at 10 o'clock at night. He said, "We'll have to shut this thing down and come back. Hope it doesn't melt tonight." I said, "It doesn't melt. It's 17 to minus 17, so it shouldn't melt." So anyway, we had a wonderful time and sent him off home. And I appreciate Pastor Steve because he helps me out. And he has my back. He's just like Jesus. And Pastor Ken, too. Praise God. But he likes to drink coffee. Anyway, why don't we do the introduction? Okay, worry is a difficult thing to handle. Most people, for anybody, basically. Well, there are many kinds of things to be fearful about or to be anxious about. God still tells us not to worry and to be at peace. God cares about all our needs. He will take care of us no matter what we face in life. We can be carefree today if we will just use the Word of God and pray like He said to pray. We'll find out that God always makes a difference. And so we talked about praying to God with our worries, all the concerns. I'm sure there's a whole pile of concerns today. Something very grave, some of them very minor. But there's irritants, just sometimes little irritants that are kind of been there all your life and you're still concerned about it. It's a worry, it's a concern. But the Bible says, Jesus said, "I'm going to give you peace like you can't find anywhere else in the whole world." We'll see the scripture in John 14, 1. And verse 27, Jesus said, "I'm going to give you peace like you cannot find anywhere else in the world." You can't get this from drugs. You can't get this from illicit activities, entertainment, busyness, all your fun times. But I'm going to give you a peace that passes all your understanding in the midst of your trying time. And so, we need to learn to take all our anxieties and leave it there. Leave it there. There's a song that the old timers used to sing, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." Leave them there. So Most people will take their issues to God, but only take them back right after they prayed. So they pray and just, God, I got this problem. And after they pray to God, and they take them back about 5 or 10 minutes later. So if they feel good about their prayer time, maybe they had a real good emotional time, they think that's the key, then God has it. Whether you're happy or not in your prayer doesn't make any difference whether or not you left it with God. There's only one way to know whether you left it with God, and that is if you've done it right according to the Word. And find out what it says. The Bible says we do it one time. If you have to pray about that same problem again next 5 minutes, you're not doing this right. If you have to do it over, some of you have been doing this for 25, 30, 40, 50 years maybe. Some of you older people. 50 years. Still doing the same thing, same problem, and you still have it. And God hasn't done anything about it because you haven't let it go for 50 years. Or 25 years, or 30 years. So the Bible says we do it one time. One time. We cast our burdens on the Lord. Whatever that burden is, whatever that anxiety is, whatever that worry is, whatever that concern is, you cast it on God or Jesus or the Holy Ghost one time. Everybody say one time. If you have to do it over and over every 5 minutes, every hour, then you haven't done it the right way. Now listen to me. Like, I know what I'm talking about. I know what the Word of God says. Because I've had the problems, and I've seen it happen, and I'm finally listening to what Brother Hagin used to teach us. You know, I look at the Scripture every day, all day long. Sometimes I read the Scriptures every day, and I wonder how some people, they don't read the Scripture, how they survive. It takes time to build a house. How many people know when we try to build around here in this building and do different things? It takes a long time to build something, a project. I don't know, your project didn't happen overnight, right? It took a long time, took a lot of people or whatever, you know. And then sometimes you have to wait for people to come in line. If you prayed, then you have to wait for God to work on somebody else while you got the answer. And somebody else, God has to work on people. You have to trust what God says. God says, I'll work on your heart and also work on somebody else's heart. But it takes some patience, as we talked about last week. Somebody said they really enjoyed the message about patience last week, and I didn't even did a quarter of the message. It takes patience to work with this thing, and patience with yourself. And so we do it one time, and if we don't do it right, we're going to have to learn to do it right. So they take it right back after their prayer time or whatever, when they give it to God. They cancel out their own prayers by ignorantly complaining or speaking negatively about their present situation and thinking negative and talking about it again to somebody else, how bad their situation is, and they just give up to God. You can't give something to God and then talk to somebody else how bad your situation is. That's not going to work. You are canceling out what you just did. And so what people do, they'll have, you know, they just want somebody to pity them, and that's what they're doing. So if you go and pray to God and say, God, I give you this, and then you go complaining, getting on Facebook, getting on the phone, or doing what you do, go to the coffee shop, tell the people again the same problem. I told you, you solved it. What you should be saying is that, you know what, I prayed to the Lord, I gave it to God, and He's taking care of it right now. And here's the Scripture I've been standing on. I'm going to tell you, here's what I've been standing on. I know the things haven't changed right now. It's good. You know, I'm saying it's even gone worse than what I did before, but I'm believing God. Not too many people excited about this morning, because it takes time to do this. It takes some tenacity. It takes some spiritual strength. It takes spiritual strength to do this. And the only way you can gain spiritual strength is get the Word of God in you. Amen. Just like if you gain strength, if you stop eating, you lose physical strength. You can lose mental strength. It takes some tenacity in the spirit to begin to do something like this, because troubles happen, and people live mostly in the natural or the soulish realm, The Bible says that when we begin to focus just on carnal thoughts, it produces death. You know, so speaking negatively about your present situation and that they gave up to God, first, you know, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, he said, casting all your cares once and for all on him, for he cares for you. We just read. So who has the problem? You need to ask yourself, who has the problem? Does he have it or do you have it? I heard Keith Moore say one time, worry never solved one problem. It hasn't healed one person.
Amen.
Worry doesn't heal your body. If you got diabetes, it's not going to heal your body if you're worried. It hasn't healed one cancer case yet. It hasn't brought any money in. And so, if you are looking for a husband or wife, no one wants a worrisome wife and a worried husband. You want somebody smiling. Somebody put on their Facebook the other day, here's the way to greet your husband when he finishes work. And back in the 50s. I wish they'd have that back on again. No, it's horrible. It's really horrible. So, Jesus said to his disciples, don't be overly anxious about anything. Matthew 6:25, he said, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. That is continually worried about everything in their life. Most people in that verse of scripture is talking about just the natural things. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to buy this? How am I going to, it's Christmas time, how am I going to buy all these gifts? It's very simple. Don't buy any gifts. Right? Just buy me one. You know what I'm saying? We think about these things because people worry about a lot of stuff. There's a solution for it, but they don't like it. You can't spend money. When you charge up everything, you're just spending your future. Casting the whole of your cares. Casting all means everything on the Lord, not somebody else. So when we, when we get mad at each other, we're not casting on the Lord, we're burdening somebody else if we're going to do this right. So you do this once unless you have new cares that day about that situation. Okay, something, you got a problem and another situation come up, you just say, Father, I just want to cast that also on you in the name of Jesus. I know there's a problem right here, but there's another situation that come up because of that problem, so I'm going to cast that on you as well. Can you remember that? Two people, okay. Instead of asking God again, praise Him. Because you believe that He took them and that He's working on them for you right now. He hasn't forgotten. God is not like a man or a woman or a human being that's going to forget things. He's not absent-minded. If you gave Him something, He's going to finish the job. So we treat God like He was another human being. Hey, God, what I asked you over there? Well, you could say, God, I just want to remind myself. I want to tell you again. I thank you for taking that burden over. And I know you have it, and I just want to just say thank you again. That'll build you up. So ask yourself, am I fretting? As long as you continue to fret and worry about your situation, you still have the problem. I'm going to say that again. As long as you're fretting about your problem or your situation, then you have the problem still, and God doesn't have it, and He can't work on it. It's very simple. Things will get solved around here tomorrow. How many people know that, when Pharaoh did not want to let the Israelites go, he had a lot of problems because God was working for Moses and all his guys, people, nation. So God was working on his behalf. And there was frogs everywhere. It says that I think it was six. I can't remember what chapter it was. He says there's frogs everywhere. Frogs in the toilets. Frogs in the bedroom. One's pillows. Frogs everywhere. Frogs here. Frogs there. And he says, you know, Moses, listen, help me out here. Tell God to get rid of these things. Okay, sure. Moses says, oh, what time do you want to get this solved? He said, tomorrow. I want it right now. I want to take care of it right now. So we're like that guy sometimes. We're like that guy. We say, no, tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. So if we don't cast them on God, he can't do anything for us about that situation. As long as we're anxious and thinking anxiously and fretting, keeping, you know, talking about them in a negative way, then we have the problem. So you have to learn how to talk to somebody when they ask you about that situation. I said, you have to learn how to respond and talk to someone when they ask you, how's that bad situation going on? You have to learn how to respond biblically, not stupidly, biblically. Because people say a lot of cliche things about God, and they make God like he's a dummy. And they act like we're dummies in the Christian church. You know, so we need to learn how to be intelligent, spiritual people, mature people. Is that okay? Is this helping somebody? Somebody say amen. Praise God. Amen. Because, you know, I've told people, tell me you love me. Do you like anybody to tell you? I'm here every week. Some of you never say, Pastor, I appreciate you. Never one time. Never one time. You never shook my hand and said, Pastor, I really appreciate you. You've been here for 30 years. Oh, I appreciate you. I love you. She's scared of me. No, she's just blessed. You know what I'm saying? So I work sometimes all day, all night, and I do something, and I get the word of God out there, and people just walk by to say, they see me in the mall or whatever. You know, hi. What's up, man? I don't mind that. I like being cool too, but. So, the hardest thing, everybody say the hardest thing. This is the hardest thing to do. But you can do it. So, to learn, Brother Hagin used to say, Dr. Hagin used to say this. This is the hardest thing to do, is to learn how to cast your care on the Lord. He said he'd done polls over the years, all the years, and when he'd go to churches, he'd ask people praying. He said, what are you praying about? He said, I don't know. Pray. People said, pray for me, pray for me. And he said, okay, so what about? He said, well, I don't know. Well, how do we know we got the answer if you don't know? So what are you basing your prayer on? What scripture are you basing your prayer that you asked me to pray about? What can I agree on? So I can't agree on nothing. I got to agree on something. When you ask me to pray for you, you should come with me with a scripture. You should say, I'm asking, Pastor, can you agree with me? I'm believing God for this over here. Can you? I can agree with that. And some people ask crazy things. You know what? Brother Hagin, one time he said, one man says, I want you and Deacon so-and-so to pray for me that I'll have so-and-so's wife. He said, I say that because it's a little extreme because someone asked for that. That's, you can't have something unscriptural. Huh? He's already got a wife. So we have to, now, you know, that's a little, you know, far off, but people ask for things that is not even scriptural. So when they ask you, pray for me, agree with me on this, I have to find the scripture. What does the scripture say? So, it's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing for Christians to do, people of God. He said most sickness, most mental health problems and disturbances come because people can't do this. People are sick and stressed out because their body's breaking down, their heart's racing, they got anxiety issues, their body, you know, when you got anxiety issues, your body's going to break down. You got adrenaline pumping through your system. It's affecting everything, your heart, your whole system, your stomach. And they're finding out that it says that stress, cancers are caused by stress disorders. And a leading report says that American Medical says that most sicknesses are caused by stress disorders. Because people stress themselves out, they don't know how to release the burden on God. And besides that, stress and anxiety makes you look old. And people are going to say, I'm going to put more makeup on. You know, God cares about you. He said that in 1 Peter. But in Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, the Bible says, that Matthew says, if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers, which are here today thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. The Amplified says here, Matthew 6:34, so don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient today is its own trouble. We have enough trouble. Hosea 14:8 says, O Israel, Israel is talking about us. We're a type of it. Every person individually is a type of Israel when you read that in the Bible, or a type of Christian or type of church, if you understand the Bible. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers. I am the one who cares for you. God is the one who answers prayers, not people. He's the one who cares for you. Hosea 4:8. Paul knew about concerns and anxieties and troubles and trials. He knew. He accounts of his many trials and his daily concerns for the Corinthians. He had many cares. That's why he told us to not to worry, because God will take care of you. God told him he would go through many trials and difficulties when God talked to him in the first time at Acts chapter 9. When God talked to him, Jesus talked to him. He said, I want to call you into the ministry. And God called him, supernaturally called him. And he says, you're going to go through a lot of trials, but you're going to serve me. How many people know it's good to know that God called you, but it's good to know that he's going to be there even though you're living in this world? The Bible says, Psalm 23, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is this world. The valley of the shadow of death is this world we're living in. This world is in death, the Bible says in 1 John 5. The whole world lies in darkness and death, because the whole world is not born again by the Holy Spirit. They live in the world, but they're not of God yet. The whole world lies in darkness, or that the enemy has access to them. But if you're born again, he don't have access to you unless you allow him with your mind and what you say. So he enumerates a lot of his troubles to the Corinthians. I'm not going to read about all of them. I'm just going to talk about them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 28. You can write this down. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and 28. He says there, he tells them, I have worked harder. I've been put in prison. I've faced death again and again, 5 times by the Jewish people. I received 39 lashes. He had his eyelashes done, I guess. No? No, 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Not the stone some people think about. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I went in the snowbank, you know. Shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from my own, from dangers from robbers. Faced danger from my own people, the Jews. as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, danger in the deserts, danger at seas. I face danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I work hard, long hours, and doing sleepless nights. I've been hungry, thirsty, often gone without food. I've shriveled in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then in verse 28, he says this. Then besides all these situations, I have the daily burdens or concerns of the churches. That's pretty good to be able to survive all that. If he can do that, we can do that. But I'm not going at sea. I said, well, one guy says, you know what? I didn't give myself to the Lord because I thought he's going to send me to Africa. I used to be like that too. I said, Lord, oh man, I don't want to give myself to the Lord. He's going to send me. I know he's going to send me to Africa, so I ain't giving myself to the Lord. And then finally, you know, one day he gave himself to the Lord, and the Lord said, you know what? I just want to know if you would like to go to Africa, but I was not going to send you there. See, God wants you to be able to be willing, that's all, to do whatever he asks you to do. You know, I wasn't willing to be a pastor for a long time. I just want to have my own career and do something else. And I have to put up with you. And you have to put up with me. We're stuck together. Huh? And so, we fight our way, some people try to fight their way into the ministry. Ooh, they're crazy. Especially without a calling, without the anointing, you're crazy. Huh? Thank God. Everybody said, thank God for the anointing. So don't worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry. Turn to your other neighbor and say, don't worry. Point to yourself and say, don't worry. Say, I have no worries. I have no concerns. I have no anxieties. No burdens. No fear. Here. Okay. Now, there's something you have to do when you're doing this. There's another prayer you have to do when you cast your cares upon the Lord, and that's the prayer of thanksgiving. Amen. Say, after I cast my care, have to thank God. So there's the prayer of thanksgiving. You know, when we lift our hands in church, when I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm thinking about my problem. And I just don't say thank you, Jesus, because it's in style in church, see? I used to wonder why in church, I used to go to church, why do people lift their hands up and stuff and just say, thank you, Jesus. You know, they look funny too. I didn't know they had all these problems. They're just thinking about it and they're saying, thank God I don't have to be there anymore. So, thank God if you look ugly when you praise, and you go ahead anyway. Some of you just want to be sweet, eh? Huh? And they put this thing on, you know, on television there. I was dancing away there. I said, you know, people come to church and they won't dance or praise because they don't really like that song. It's not my kind of style of song. I need something a little bit. I need a jigging song or something. I need like a hard rock song. Then I can dance. But all this stuff, I don't do this stuff. I mean, some people say, well, I like a little bit of a country. It has to have that kind of beat. Some people like reggae. You know? So they won't dance. Anything else, we just offer kind of like, Jesus culture songs and hill songs and whatever song they got there. So they do all that stuff. And you come in this church, if you're kind of a country guy, you kind of look at everybody. What's going on here? You know? And so, you know, you have to praise wherever you go. When I went to Rhema, I didn't like country gospel. And so I decided, I want to go to another church. But where's another church? I like to, just like to spiff it up a little bit. This stuff is done, you know? But the Lord said, you stay there. I called you to be there. Yeah. I thank God because they started singing hill songs and all that stuff. But so, don't go away. We might get into reggae. Hey? Those guys from 58 says, I'm gonna... We go, Ginda. Everybody say, Ginda. Say, Ginda. So when something, you know, when something's far out, and like you say, Ginda. Okay, that's my Ojibwe. Where's our language teachers in here? Let me see your hands. We have our Ojibwe language teachers in here. We got a French teacher. We got some Ojibwe teachers, Ojikri teachers. And me, I just teach whatever. So, 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, pray for all people, ask God for help to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. So when you're praying, you know, it also talks about in Ephesians there, Philippians, and we offer up thanksgiving as well as we praise, and as we, give God our prayer. So because you believe, you can do this. Because you believe, you can thank God. Because you believe that He's done it. Because you believe He heard you. Because you believe He took your care. Because you believe He's watching over you. Because you believe He's going to finish the job, you're going to continue to thank Him. Every time you think about the care, you're going to continue to thank Him. What if it gets worse? You continue to thank Him. 1 John says, 14 and 15, and we are confident that He hears us. Now listen to this. The word confident always refers to faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that we are confident of the things we cannot see. You cannot be confident unless you know what the Word of God says. Are you here? How many is here this morning? Say hallelujah! Say, I love God. God. Say, I love peanut butter. No. So we love. No, we have to be able to begin to praise God. This is the confidence that we have that He hears us. Oh, that's New Living. We are confident that He hears us whenever we ask Him anything that pleases Him. Well, you know His Word pleases Him. So you have to stick with the Word. And since we know that He hears us, when we make a request, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. Amen. So you have to do it by faith. So when you come to church Sunday morning, you still have the need from last 2 weeks or 2 months or 5 months. You say, God, thank You. I'm just praising You again. Not just by myself, with all these people, I'm going to stand with them. They're praising too, so I'm thanking You. Try it for a second. Lift up your hand. Say, thank You, Lord. Just lift up your hand. Say, thank You, Lord. I praise You. You heard me. You're concerned about me. Thank You, Father, for answering my prayers. Okay, put your hands back down. We're not done. I'm just showing you right over here. See, so we can thank Him because He hears us. Whether we feel anything or not, whether you see any changes immediately, whether you see anything that's going to encourage your soul. Encouraging your soul means you feel good and all of a sudden I feel better about it, you know. I mean, the medicine is working. People say this to me a lot of times. Pray that the doctor will give me a good report. And they suppose that when their prayer, when the doctor gives them a report, then it's going to be an answer. They're putting on a fleece, right? So they're putting on the fleece. So pray, you know, whether the doctor gives you a good report or not has no bearing whether God answers your prayer.
Amen.
See, most people don't understand this. That's why they don't come to church. And they should come to church to hear this.
Yeah.
And to stay here and to get stronger.
Yeah.
So God answers your prayer whether you feel like it, whether you see some changes or not. You have to stand until the answer comes in. And you keep thanking God before, during, and after. So we keep thanking God. He will work it all out. Say, He'll work it out. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. You know, we got concerns. We give them to God. We're concerned about something, and He's concerned about it because He cares for you affectionately. He cares about you watchfully. Jeremiah 1:12, I watch over my word to perform it. When you stand on His word, He's going to watch over His word to make it come to pass. He will not abandon you. Psalm 138 says the Lord will work it out, new living. He will work out His plan for my life. Your life doesn't end when you're 38 or 63. And whatever concerns your children, it doesn't end there. You have to trust God for your husband and wife. Those of you that are having, your husband's out there somewhere, your wife is out there, or whatever it is, your relative, you have to trust God. If you prayed that God still has it, and He's taking care of it because He loves you. We do not fear bad news. Psalm 112, verse 7, New Living says, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust. That's faith. Confidence is trust. Confidence is about faith, and trusting is faith. You cannot trust God without having faith in God. They do not fear bad news. Why? Because they trust God. No matter what happens, they still trust God. I'm trusting God. You can give me a bad report. I'm still trusting God. That's faith. You know, they said to the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He said, okay, you're going to have to worship me here. Worship me, I'm the king. Worship my statue. Or we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Everybody's going to face a fiery furnace day. Fiery furnace is all the hard trouble that comes your way. And, you know, you're sitting here right now comfortably, but one day you're going to face fire in this life. Whether it's the financial, your own physical body, somebody else's physical body, somebody else's concern is going to affect you. Somebody in your life doesn't get affected, that affects you.
Amen.
You're not an island. But somebody's life will directly affect you. So you have to learn how to cast your care upon the Lord and believe God for your life and for them.
Amen.
So we have to confidently trust God, even if there's a bad news. There's no evil, the Bible says, will come your place. Psalm 91 talks about that. There's no evil will come near you. He watches over your plans to perform whatever plan that He said He's going to do. Jesus said we can be at peace no matter what. He said that over there in John 14:1-27. Let's go and close that. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. So when you're agitated and troubled, you're not at peace. When you have to have that cigarette, you're not at peace. When you have to get shoot up, you're not at peace. When you have to drink something, you cannot, you're not at peace. When you got to have to watch something on television to get your peace, you're not at peace. If you can't sit in your room by yourself and sit there for a while, you're not at peace. If you have to put on every radio and telephone, whatever is always on, you're not at peace. Something's agitating you. Learn to be at peace with yourself. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You do not let it. God didn't say, I'll take care of it. No, He said, you do something about it right now. Where people were always saying, He's going to take it. No, you have to give it to Him. And start learning to leave it there. Agitated. You believe in me, adhere to and trust in, rely on God. Believe also, adhere to and trust and rely on me. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my own peace I give you, I bequeath to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. What don't you understand about do not let your hearts be troubled? You don't know the trouble I have. You don't know how much trouble I have. Yeah, Jesus said something. Neither let them be afraid. So, well, I'm afraid. No, God says, don't be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated, disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated. The devil is so good at intimidating Christians. He comes around like a bully and slaps you around a little bit with a few carrots. And slaps around, comes out to your house. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill all your family. You're going to have no more money. What's people going to say about you? You're a believer. Ah, blah, 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 blah. Ah, shut up. Amen. You know, remember Bugs Bunny? Yeah. He would tell him, ah, shut up. And he slaps that you Smitty Sam. You remember that? Everybody say, ah, shut up. Shut up. The only way to shut the devil up is begin to speak the word of God. Amen. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand up? Because you can't take anymore. Let me just close by saying this. How do we give your care to God? First, ask yourself, whenever you encounter a trial, what does God's word say about this situation? Whenever you encounter trouble, if you got anxiety, trouble, ask yourself, what does God's word say about this? Number two, find a scripture that would answer that situation. You got to have a spiritual law to stand on. You got to have a foundation to stand on. You got to have a principle to stand on that doesn't change. Two, meditate. Think about it. Talk to yourself about it. This is what God says. Tell yourself about it. Sing that song. Sing it to yourself. Quote it to yourself. Tell yourself, this is what God says about it. I don't have to worry about that. He said he cares for all my needs. He cares for my children. He cares. He said, I'll supply all of one of your needs. And I thank God for it. Oh, Father, you said this. You said that. You said you would take care of me. You said you'd heal my body. You said you took my cares upon the cross. You said I don't have to have any trouble in trial. You said you'll take it all if I give it to you. Oh, thank God. That's how you meditate. You don't go, No, you talk to yourself. To meditate means to talk to yourself. To meditate means to talk to yourself about that Bible. Hear yourself say it. Because you're feeding yourself the word when you say it. When you sing scripture songs, you're feeding your spirit. You're cleaning your mind up. Building yourself up when you sing spiritual songs. You're lifting yourself up. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. How do you magnify the Lord? You sing about him, how big he is. Woo! Glory to God, he's awesome. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's what he says. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34. How do you make God big in your life? You tell how awesome he is. Sing about him. You know, you love somebody? Have you ever loved somebody so much with all your heart? Have you ever told them, I love you? I'd do anything for you. I'd give you my left eyeball. But you do whatever you have to do for that person. You have to tell God, Lord, I just love you. You saved my life. Tell God, Lord, I'm releasing this situation to you right now based on your word. Then next you thank him. You thank God and you stand on the promise of God. That you're basing your thankfulness on that promise. Thank you, Lord. You said this. You said that. I want to thank you. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you. You do it by faith. And every time you think about it, every time the devil attacks you, every time you have an evil thought, an emotional disturbance, and being intimidated by your sense, knowledge, evidence that's coming against you, you stand and say, this is what God's Word says. I'm standing on the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word will not change. He said, him that honors me, I'll honor him. Psalm 91, 16. Him that honors me, I'll honor him. So God, I honor you, your Word. I bow down to your Word. I thank you. Let's go ahead and lift our hands again. Bless him. Father, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Just go ahead and lift your hand up. Tell him how you love him. If the music team would come up, if you're here. Oh, blessed be God. Blessed be God forever, Lord. We worship you. Just go ahead and pray. Take the time. Take a few minutes. Take the time and offer God. Thank you, Lord. Offer him and say, Lord, I just want to lift up my heart to you. I want to lift up my burdens to you. I want to lift up my cares and my anxieties, my worries. I want to give them to you today. And Lord, as well, I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to submit my life to you. I'm not going to just give you my problems, but I'm going to give you my life. I want to give you every situation. I'm going to give you every situation that's affecting my life, but maybe my life is out of tune with you. So if there's anything in my life that needs to be changed tonight, this morning, I want to come and make that change. Oh, blessed be God. Blessed be God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we just submit to you. Thank you. Thank you. Those of you that need to come back to God, I want you to come up here right now. If you want to come back to Jesus, you've been away from God. Come on and back up and say, God, I'm giving my life to you 100%. Come on, let's make an altar right here. Let's make an altar, a sacrifice of our lives. Just come on up if that's you. And say, God, I want to just give my life to you again. You might be a worker in this church. You might be an usher. You might be a greeter. You might be a prayer. Whatever, whoever you are. Just get up here and say, God, I want to give my life to you right now, today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We want to just submit our lives to you. We submit our cares to you. Thank you, Lord. We're just bowing down to you today. We're giving up everything. Everything to you. Everything. Oh, blessed be God. Let's go ahead and worship him and praise him and thank him. Glory to God. Come on, people are coming. People want to come. Don't just rush away. Don't just rush away. Something's happening here in the spiritual realm right now. Let God do something. Give God 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes. You got 3 minutes. You got a minute. Thank you, Lord. Come on, sing that song. Come on. You down. Oh, there is a King. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, God. You are awesome. You're the mighty God, the everlasting God. Oh, you are, you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we want to thank you for these individuals and those that said that I want God to be completely in my life. I'm submitting my life. I'm consecrating my life. I'm dedicating my life to you today. Lord, do what you want to do in my life. Take out what you need to take out of my life. I'm submitting to you today. I don't understand it all. But I know if I give my life to you, you're going to change it. You're going to do something. But if I keep holding on to these things, I'm going to continue to have them. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, if you can do anything with this life, do something with it. I'm giving it to you today. And I'm giving you all my concerns, not just my life, but all my concerns, all my worries, all my personal issues, my personal problems. And every time I think about them again, I'm going to just say, Father, I gave my life to you. You're working on it. And I don't see any answers right now, but I trust, I believe, I'm confident in your word that you're changing that. So thank you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, God, I thank you that I can come to you today. I stand here today boldly confessing that I am powerless over this life and situations on my own. But with you, you are all powerful. I can be powerful too over every situation. I can win against spiritual darkness, physical problems, natural situations. And so I want to thank you right now before all these people and before the devil and before anybody else. I believe I'm giving you my life, and they're going to see a change in me. They're going to see a change in this person. My life will change from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Stretch your hands towards them. I'm going to pray for them in the name of Jesus. Father, I bless this young man. I want to thank you that he's been coming for the last several weeks, and he's finally made a dedication publicly to serve you, to come to you. I just want to thank you that today will be an astronomical, historical change in his life, in the name of Jesus. And this lady's been coming for several weeks as well, and she's given her life over. She's given up drug addiction and all those lifestyles she had before, and she doesn't have them anymore. She doesn't have any more fears. She doesn't have any anxieties. And last week you healed her from pancreatic situation, and all the pain is gone, and all the situation has changed around. So God, you're sending out your angels to arrange situations, to make it affordable for her, whatever she wants to do. In the name of Jesus, the money will come. The money's coming. And God's sending people along your way. And he's also sent us. He sent me to help you, to be your helper. Glory to God, to help you through this dark time. Lord, I bless her in the name of Jesus. And this young man has given up drugs, alcohol, a lifestyle of violence, lifestyle of living a secret life. But you've given him a new beginning. And this day, it will never be the same again for his family, for his life. In the name of Jesus, this is historical. This is epic. You will not see everything come into play right away, but God's already arranged everything to come into play. He's already done it long, even before you were born. He said, before you prayed, I've answered you. Before you've even uttered a word, I've already answered that situation. So begin to count that as done. Everybody lift your hands. Begin to bless God. Begin to thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Woo! Oh, glory to God. Isn't that good? Bro, listen. Just go ahead and praise him. Can you lift your hand? Say, thank God. Lift your hand up higher. Say, thank God. This is going to be different now. Say, thank God. It's done. That's right. Thank you. You lift your hands. Lift your hands up, bro. Lift up your hands. Say, thank God it's done. Say, I'm different now. Even if I don't feel different, if I don't see any changes, it's done. It's changed. Amen. Come on, guys. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, Pastor Ken is going to take you to the corner in that room up there. He's going to give you $50 each. Out of his own money. No, he's going to give you something to go. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Remember to greet somebody. If you don't have your ticket, make sure you get your ticket. Bless you. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Jesus, Lord.